Have you ever felt off center? Have you ever felt out of kilter, off balance, askew? Well, I really don't like it when my body is making me an object lesson. Because the other day, my back goes out, and all of a sudden, I'm askew. I'm bent over. I can barely breathe or lift my leg. I'm going, what is going on? And what is it that got me to this position? I don't even know. All of a sudden, I'm in pain. I'm in agony, and I want relief. I want to be able to stand up straight. I want to be able to walk the way I walked. I don't want to have to manage what's going on in my body. So what we do is we go to a chiropractor like Ken, and he does a thing called an adjustment. An adjustment. Isn't that interesting? Because it's an adjustment that brings us back to center. It's an adjustment that gets us off kilter. It's an adjustment that puts us back where we need to be. And this is one of the things that God is always trying to do, and Paul is mentioning that in his prayer for the people. He wants them to be centered. He wants them to have this understanding of who he is. And when we're going through life, there's often times where we will wander away, we'll stray. But one of the things we talked about last week is God has provided us a compass, a way to know how to get to where he's calling us to be. And that's a challenge, because when we get off kilter, we have to remember what is it that we have to return to so that we can get back on the right path. And Paul tells us it's God's word. C.S. Lewis talks about how this relationship with God, the things that center us, are first baptism, communion, and worship. Those are the things that center us on what God has done, what he is doing, and we rejoice in all of those things that he calls us into that, and he places us in the center of a relationship with him. So we look at Paul's prayer. He knows what we need as God's children. And isn't it nice when you have someone who's much wiser, who has been down the road, who can call you back to, you might not want to go that direction, you might want to go this direction. Paul is helping these Ephesians who are filled with faith, and he is so glad that he sees what God is doing in their life. And he says, and these are the things I want for you, because I know that Satan's not going to like it. He's going to try to get you off center. He says, I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, to be wise, to know how the world works, and a spirit of revelation that understands what God is trying to tell us, so that we can implement it in our life wisely, so that we can walk centered. Because he knows there are going to be many challenges in the world that are going to try to take us off center, to cause us to go askew, cause us to get frustrated. If you've ever been on a trip and gotten lost, that's one of the most frustrating things that can happen. So he says, I want you to have that spirit of wisdom and revelation. That is so essential. And why? So that we can know God better. Well, why do we need to know God better? Because if we know God better, then we know how he works in this world, how he set it up to work, so that we can align ourselves with his work. So when we know God better, when things happen that cause us to go off kilter and we scratch our head and wonder, why is God doing it this way? The more we know the nature of God, the more it makes sense to us and we don't get knocked off track. He says, I want the eyes of your heart to be enlightened so that we can see God's will, not just understand it with our minds, so that we can see it and we can have a clear direction towards where God is pointing us, so that we can know the hope to which we are called. It's interesting that it's very important that if you don't know where you're going, you're just going to wander. Because there's this overarching understanding. If we have this from God, this overarching understanding of what he has called us to do, to be, and to end up, it's going to be so much easier traversing this life, because we're always going to go back to, what is that star guiding us towards? That overarching truth. He's calling us to a rich inheritance. Could you imagine the one who creates all things saying, as my child, you will receive all things from me? And that's what God is promising us when we're at the end of this existence. He says, I'm going to make all things right, and you will experience all the blessings in fullness that I have for you. We experience them in part, and we need to be very focused on when God is blessing us to be thankful for the blessings he's given us. But we will fully know, like we talked about last week, we only see this world through a glass. We talked about a glass darkly or a window that is distorted. We only see life through a distortion, but we will fully know and be fully known by God. And what is it in for us? Incomparably great power. I mean, you look around the world, isn't that what most people want? Isn't that why people fight? Because they're fighting for power. They're concerned that, well, your power is more than my power. And God says, I have so much power that is waiting for you to be utilized. Allow me to use it through you. So we have access to this. So then when we feel weak, we have to recenter and say, but God is so strong. And I'm not sure how this might be going, but he's going to see me through. He says, this is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And what did he do when he raised him from the dead? He seated him at his right hand, that all things are under his feet. And with that overarching truth, we know that God is going to make all things right through Jesus. And that shapes our courage. It shapes our confidence. That's the overarching truth. That's the guiding star, that if we hold on to those things, no matter what happens in this world, easy or difficult, we might not come out of it unscathed. But we know where we're going to end up. Really, we're on a Joseph journey. Israel was on a Joseph journey when they left Egypt. Joseph, one of Jacob's sons, who all of a sudden, because he had a vision, his eyes were opened to God's revelation that he was going to be head over his family, over his brothers, over his parents. And they didn't like that because they couldn't see what Joseph saw. God had a plan through Joseph because he was faithful to him, that he was going to work out a way when the famine came and difficulty in this world came. He was going to use Joseph as the means through which this family was going to continue to be blessed. And what happens to him? His brothers don't like it. They send him off into slavery. Could you imagine Joseph not being too happy about that? I know I wouldn't be. But when Joseph goes down into Egypt and he's a slave, what happens to him? Well, he's also lied about, because Potiphar, his slave owner's wife, wanted to take him and have sex with him. And he said, I can't do such a thing. And what happens next? Well, he goes into jail because Potiphar ruled the jail and he thought Joseph was being immoral. So where does he need to go? He is not just a slave, he's a prisoner. What is going to keep Joseph centered? He went from being a slave to others to be a leader for others. Because every time difficult things happened, even though he didn't know why, he would always go back to God to center him. He was enlightened to God's goal. He knew it through the vision, but he didn't know the means. Sometimes that's where we struggle. We know the goal. We know God is calling us to his eternal glory. We know he has called us into his family. But all of a sudden, the means through which we travel as his children, as his people, we wonder, well, why is this happening? Could you imagine someone like Joseph not understanding that even more? But then, as he remains faithful, what happens? He has the ability to interpret dreams, and the Pharaoh has a dream, and Joseph tells him what it is. And he's raised up to second over all of Egypt, and he provides food for all the people when the famine comes. If he would have just said, forget it, God, I'm not going to be faithful, what would have happened in the long run? And that's the challenge for us. Will we be faithful when we don't know the means through which God is going to use us to accomplish his will? Joseph exemplifies that for us. Don't worry about figuring out or knowing the means. Just know the goal, because the goal will keep you centered. His choices were not determined by others' behaviors. That's a challenge for us. So often, the behaviors of others control our behavior. We don't have to let that happen. Joseph didn't. He's an example that we don't have to either. Does it mean it's going to be easy? Hardly. But it does mean it can be done by faith in God and trust in God, that when you're off kilter, going back to the one who can center you. Israel's purpose when they came out of Egypt was to do what? To go into this promised land. Well, why did it take so long? Because God had told Abraham back in Genesis that this land is going to be yours, but the people who are living in the land, their sin has not reached its full. I'm still working with them. And we know there was a man there, a kingly priest called Melchizedek. God was working through him. But God knew that there was going to come a time when he was going to give this people that land, because he knew those people were going to reject him totally. So one of the things the Israelites didn't realize is they were being used as an implement for God's justice. What if they would have remembered that as they got to the edge of the promised land and they sent the spies up and they came back with great stories of how fruitful the land is and how good the land is, but then realized, yeah, but the cities are fortified. The people there are like giants. What if they would have remembered what God had told Abraham? Imagine how that could have centered them and helped them to be faithful rather than faithless. They were there to be a nation as a light to other nations. That was their goal, to take this land and exhibit their faithfulness to the nations, that other nations would want to be faithful to this God as well. Many of the people who were traveling with the Israelites weren't Israelites. They saw what God was doing through them and wanted to be a part of it. But we know from last week, one of the things that happened, those were the people who started to complain about God first. And we talked about how their complaints infected the Israelites and took them further off center and let their vision, their earthly vision, be the center for them. It wasn't good for them. Just imagine if they could have remembered all the things that God had done for them, the power that God had exhibited. Remember that we talked about in Ephesians, this power of God raising Jesus from the dead? These Israelites saw the amazing power of God through various ways. He delivered them through the Passover. He protected them through the Red Sea and the attacks of the Amalekites. They saw all these things. They experienced them. He provided manna and quail and water from a rock. What got them to go away from center, to forget the power of God that was in their midst? They could even see it in the pillar of cloud of smoke and fire over the tabernacle. And we sit back and think, well, that wouldn't have been me. Well, I wonder. I don't know, because there's times when I let my human sight allow me to get pulled away from center. Even though I can see and read and remember all the things that God has done and said, that he's exhibited his power, why do I still allow this earthly sight, these earthly desires to lead me away? It's because I'm trusting in my own wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's got to be informed by God. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. He will center you and guide you to the goal. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. It will adjust us. God's wisdom. In Israel, when the spies came back from this beautiful land with a grape cluster that was so big they put it on two poles, if you read through Numbers 13 and 14, the people were amazed at how fruitful the land was, but then because of their limited view, They had a limited perspective of who they were and what God could do through them. Their distorted perspective said, we're too weak. There are giants there. The cities are fortified. We can't win over that. Again, they were trusting in their own vision. We're too weak. Yes, you are too weak on your own. But what do you have on your side? You've got the Lord on your side. If it not had been for the Lord, you wouldn't survive. Caleb and Joshua understood that. And when the people were complaining about going up and taking this land, said, no, we can go up. We can take it. God has given it to us, because they understood the overarching plan of God. Somehow, some way, they knew. But the people, what did they do? They blamed God. They didn't understand God. The eyes of their hearts were not enlightened, because they thought God was a God who just wanted to bring them out and kill them. After providing for them so well, he brought us out here to kill us. And they also said that he brought us here so that these people could plunder our families. Does that sound like the God you've been following all this time? But that's how they tried to make sense of what was before their eyes. And there was a reinforcing lie that the spies had told them. This land devours the people who live in it. No, this was a good land. This was a prosperous land. So this is what happens, is when they didn't want to go up, they have to, now we have to reshape, reframe a truth so that it will support your fear, so that you'll be aligned with us. The land will devour anyone who goes there. But who's the one that created the land? It's the one who is trying to give it to them. And they trusted the lie rather than the truth giver. And we know who the father of lies is. We have to be very careful of what we accept as truth. Their conclusion? What kind of God is this that would do such a thing? Well, that's where a lot of people can end up when they misunderstand God's will. Why would a God like that allow pain? Why would a God like that allow suffering, when our pain and our suffering is mainly our fault because of our rebellion to God? And now we live in a life that there is immense pain and immense suffering, and God doesn't want it that way, and he sent Jesus to deliver us from that. He's done all the work to bring us back to center. It would have been better if we had died in the wilderness or in Egypt, because they think they're going to try to take the land and die there. But was that God's plan? God didn't want them to die. He wanted them to be blessed. Because they couldn't see that, God says, okay, I will be the God to you that you think I am. I will be the God who allow you to wander in the wilderness, and because you rejected me, you won't get the promise. Your children will. But anyone 20 years and older, you're going to die in the wilderness. That was their consequence to their choice. And Moses prayed for them, God, forgive them. He goes, I have forgiven them. I won't wipe them out. They'll live their lives, but it'll be hard. They could have lived their life in blessing, but because they rejected me, they chose to live their life in struggle. That's the challenge we have too. When we try to figure it out our way, do we create more challenges for ourselves rather than just be faithful to God and do the right thing and let God work it out? Because in the end, it really might be better for us, because we don't have that spiritual vision to know how God's going to work it out. We don't know the means, but we know the goal. He's calling us home. Now, what's our response to this? We need to know the nature of the God that we claim we serve. If we don't know his nature, we're going to be like the Israelites and assign him evil, when he's not evil at all. He is a loving God. He's a forgiving God. He forgives sin and rebellion. And this is one of the things that Moses says in the passage. This is the God that the people serve, that he wants them to know. God knows the plan for his people. He knows where he wants us ultimately, in spite of our choices that put us in a place we are right now. We, as his people, are his body. We are his representation on this earth. That's what we are. Like the Israelites were to be for the people, the nation of God. We are the people of God, his body, that lets other people know there's a different way of living. A healthy body that exhibits God's will. And that we know that when we've done what we can in this body, and when our body gives up, he will raise us from death and bring us into his everlasting presence. Let those things be your compass. Let those things be the things that center you in this journey when you're not sure which way's up, when you get knocked off kilter, when you're off balance and you're not sure what God is doing and don't know how this means might be a way through which God lets the world know who's really in control. And that we, as God's people, do what we can prayerfully, allowing him to enlighten the eyes of our heart so that when we're in conversations with people, they can see something about us that says, you seem very balanced. The things that are going on in the world right now don't seem to have knocked you off kilter. And you can say, well, I am once in a while, and I was really before, but you know what I had to do? Is that I had to take my eyes off a broken world and focus my eyes on a holy, perfect God. And that allows me to stand straight. And he adjusts me in my sight so that I can walk well, that I can live well, and I can ask you to join me on this journey. If you have questions about how God might be doing this in your life or questions how to get back on balance, give us a call, send us an email, whatever. That's what the church is here to do. And this week, when you're having those conversations with people, be ever mindful of what your purpose is to be a light to the world and that he's bringing you home. What a glorious God we have. Let's stand and give him praise.